try to bring me down, way down, way down.
Since Pac passed away, most you rappers don't even deserve a track from me. You see, if you ever wanted to ever be anything, it'd always be somebody that'll shoot down any dream. It'd always be haters, that's the way it is. Hater Nick, every hater and have hater kids. But they gon' have to take my life or they take my drive. Cause when I was barely living, that's what kept me alive. Just the thought that maybe it could be better than where we at it this time. Make it out of this grind, for I'm out of my mind. And get some leeway on it, he say, she say. Your girl don't like me, how long has she been gay? Spanish girls say you know I play English. And everybody wanna run to me for they single. It's funny how these whack need my help. Wanting around when I couldn't feed myself. Dog, advise you I wouldn't feel myself. Dog, advise you I'd kill myself. Made a meal myself and I'm still myself. And I'ma look in the mirror if I need some help. Now I speak from the heart, y'all all front. Everybody feel a way about K, but at least y'all feel something, feel something.
What you call me, I bet I'm in forgetting.
Greetings, greetings and salutations, listeners. Welcome to the Tone and Tenor Show, bipartisan voices of the people. I'm Pat Edward. Randall is out today. He's not feeling well, so please keep him in your positive thoughts, positive prayers, positive vibrations. Our show looks at major issues impacting the nation and region from a bipartisan perspective. We want to hear from you, our listeners. Call and join the conversation. Our call-in number is 888-329-3306. That is 888-329-3306. Our phone lines are now open. You can also send us comments or messages or DM, but, you know, no kinky stuff via our social media. Our Twitter is Tone and Tenor, Instagram. Why did you just laugh at me? You can also catch us on Facebook, Tone and Tenor. Just type it into the search engine. And our handle and Instagram is at Tone and Tenor Radio. That's TONEANDTONER Radio. Right? Holla at your boy. So today's show topic, we're kind of going to talk about some post-election stuff, but also I wanted to address this FCC thing. I think Chairman Carr with some of the regulations that the Biden administration is bringing to the internet, which is a problem. We've had some attacks on the internet and free speech for a while, you know, but we'll get to that in a second. My opening statement for today, drum roll, please. Yeah, we need like sound effects. We need to invest in that, right? We need sound effects one of these days.
I mean, yeah, we could, but like, you know, I need to know that beforehand.
Oh, I mean, you know.
It takes me like 5 or 10 seconds at least to get some sound effects going for you.
All right, cool. We'll do it next time. Appreciate
it. Gotcha.
All right. So opening statement. We live and work in a country where you can do a mediocre job with a mediocre mindset, have a mediocre team, be mediocre, obtain mediocre results, and get promoted or a better opportunity or even make more money. Without incident, particularly if you are the complexion for the connection or protection. This is only sensible to those who have created and bought into this futile and antiquated system and has created generations of people disconnected from reality and the real work. An idiot's paradise is a wise man's hell. That's a bar. That's a bar. So let me pull up this article because I really want to address this because there's always seems to be attack. You know, for a place that preaches free speech, right? There always seems to be like this ridiculous attack on anything dealing with people speaking and dealing in life freely. So I'm gonna read this for you guys. So Office of Commissioner Brendan Carr. Carr opposes Biden's plan to give the administrative state effective control of all internet services and infrastructure in the U.S. Yes, this is kind of major. And this was at the top of the month. This unlawful power grab chooses central planning over free market capitalism, right? Which is what America was built on. I mean, and murder and, you know, stealing people and land. But anyway, November 6th, 2023. Commissioner Carr made the following statement. Democrats have been in charge of the FCC and administration agencies for approaching 12 out of 16 years. They have had the opportunity over that stretch of time to put in place nearly any federal telecom policy of their choosing. In fact, the federal government has allotted hundreds of billions of taxpayer dollars for the purpose of ending the digital divide. While Democrats have run the administrative state, after all that time and all of that spending, the Biden administration has concluded that the Democrats' policies are not working. I agree with the president on this point. This administration's broadband policies are failing. The cost of building the internet infrastructure in this country have skyrocketed thanks to Biden administration's inflammatory policies. The administration has no plan for filing a now empty spectrum pipeline, one that is vital to America's economy and geopolitical leadership. Meanwhile, the FCC is just sitting on the spectrum that could connect millions of Americans to new 5G services. The administration has needlessly blocked and delayed new broadband infrastructure bills, fiber and cell site components, and are laying fallow in warehouses and laying down yards across the country due to the government's failure to remove regulatory red tape. Permitting reform has gone nowhere. And the Biden administration is preparing to waste additional taxpayers' dollars through this multi-billion dollar Internet for All initiative by pursuing extraneous political goals at the expense of connecting Americans. But the Biden administration is taking away all of the wrong lessons from its failed broadband policies. Rather than righting the ship, the Biden administration is going hard left. It's now only blaming the private sector and free market capitalism itself for the administration's own policy shortfalls. The problem, the administration has apparently concluded that the FCC has never gone full command and control when it comes to regulating the internet. So last month, President Biden gave the FCC its marching orders. The president called on the FCC to implement a one-page section of the 2021 Infrastructure Investment Act by adopting new rules of a breathtaking scope, all in the name of digital equality. For the first time ever, those rules would give federal government a roving mandate to micromanage nearly every aspect of how the internet functions, from how ISPs allocate capital and where they build to services that consumers can purchase, from the profits that ISP can realize, and how They market and advertise services to the discounts and promotions that consumers can receive. Talk about central planning. Needless to say, Congress never contemplated the sweeping regulatory regime that President Biden asked to the FCC to adopt, let alone authorize the agency to implement it. Nonetheless, the commission will vote next week, which was last week. Or no, it was this week, I'm sorry. Yep, it was this week, 2 days ago, November 15th, to put President Biden's plan in place. A draft of the FCC order implemented President Biden's plan is available. And there's a link for it, so you guys check that out. I oppose the plan for several reasons. And then he goes into like a whole bunch of bullet points, which a lot of them I agree with. And then if you guys want to check this out, the Office of Commissioner Brendan Carr, that's www.fcc.gov. And then media contact is inquiry.carr, C-A-R-R, at fcc.gov. So, yeah, this is pretty interesting. We've had a bunch of stuff that we've talked about several times over the years about a lot of the free, you know, I mean, Comcast, they got a building for free. They've made, what, $80, $90 billion? I mean, I'm not hating. I'm just saying.
Yeah, B billion definitely sounds like the right amount for them, unfortunately.
Yeah, it was like, yeah, you know, and at the time, the CEO, I think he was making like $20 million a year. Again, I'm sure he got there somehow, but my thing is that...
wow, only $20 million? He's so humble.
I mean, it was like more like 23. I was being nice, but...
oh, okay, the three is what throws him over.
23, but he left for some reason. What's this guy's name? One second. I can't remember his name to save my life right now. It's a previous CEO, though. Oh, because now the CEO now is Brian Roberts. Not super surprised. He's a UPenn grad, Wharton School. His net worth is $2 billion. Wow. So, you know.
That's not his salary, though. That's his net worth, right?
That's his net worth.
Huh. All right.
Joel Roberts was one of the previous guy. Yeah, Comcast here for 46 years until he died. Yeah, man, that's very, very interesting. It's very interesting. He was born in the previous guy was born 1920.
The previous guy, the one that stepped down, it was 1920? Or you said he died?
Yeah, Ralph Roberts, he died in 1920.
He was
born in 1920.
He died in 2015. Comcast must have been ahead of the game if they started in 1920.
No, they didn't start in 1920. God, this is my memory, 40, 50 years. Because remember, they're part of NBC. Like, people don't know this. There's a lot of conglomerate. There used to be a bunch of different news outlets, but now there's only, I think at best, maybe like 3 to 5.
I think it is maybe 5 to 7. If that honestly would be a good show to like take a look at or whatever. Like, I know GE controls like a bunch of them, Comcast, Disney, all of them. So,
yeah, they got Marvel now.
Which is, they got the terrible. Marvel. They've got Fox. They've got like everything. Yeah. So it's like.
So I watched Marvel cartoons and stuff growing up, y'all, and I just was not. No, this new thing is terrible. But anyway,
the new wave of Marvel is not as great as the '90s cartoon. Is what you're saying? Or?
Yeah, but remember, there's no storyline. Like, they just really just...
In the cartoon, it was just...
Avengers X-Men was just kind of run up, but as
oh, but the X-Men was fantastic back in, like, 1980, 1990 or whatever, yeah, I gotta admit.
Yeah, but, yeah, I'm not gonna go off on a rant. But Brian Roberts makes $32 million. So I'm sure that this... if there's a regulation from the Biden regime, I can almost guarantee this will affect his bottom line and his bonuses. I don't think he'll be a fan of this. Again, I'm not, you know, a internet professional, but I know this can be good for business. As somebody that is that understands capitalism, I am not anti-capitalism, because whoever has the best service, the best product, the best idea, it's called creative destruction, right? And this is something, I mean, think about it, from the steam train to the electric train, from the The crank up automobile, which was probably better for the environment, you know, but the oil industry, we know at the turn of the 20th century, they shut that down and went with the combustible engine. And, you know, now we have a bunch of smog everywhere. And if you live in L.A., certain times of the day, you can't see the sky. You know, you can barely see
Yeah. Like all the little parts you need to do that, like somehow seem to erode at the worst possible time.
Yeah, right.
Oh, my God. I'm dealing with that myself. I've got a Volkswagen or whatever, and I have to replace the diesel particulate filter on the thing. And
one of those clean diesels?
The they didn't tell me about it. Like, oh, hey, you should bring in your service. No, I didn't receive a single email about, oh, you should bring it in for service so that we can check it. It was like, hey, we put this in your contract in a very tiny part that you would never read when you first got the car. And at like 120,000 miles, we're no longer
responsible
for you replacing it. It's like, who tells me that? Who's going to read that?
Yeah,
for something at 120, I got the thing at like 20,000 miles. So I was like, I wasn't expecting that, honestly.
Yeah, but this is the games they play. And, you know, while we have, you know, unfortunately, Israel and Palestine going at each other. But again, we all know this. When America would not allow Israel in the late 1940s, let's call a spade, when they would not allow Israel to come to America, they carved out Israel out of Palestine. But again, all this stuff doesn't even belong to them. It belongs to Africans. Let's call it what it is.
Wasn't that actually set up by Britain or whatever? If I'm not mistaken, I thought I read something somewhere, an article that like, oh, Britain had the land that Palestine had or whatever, and then denoted that to Israel so that they can set up their stuff, and then a bunch of other stuff that I'm not allowed to get into because it's foreign.
Yeah, foreign and controversial. But like they, you know, we know what it is. So, you know, this Hamas thing is, while this is going on and they were trying to sneak in money to give to Israel to fight Palestine, which I think there should be peace talks. UN needs to do a better job at dissipating or delineating these things because kids are getting hurt. Right, kids, women, innocent people that are not soldiers. As a veteran, I have a huge problem with this. And then not only just that, we're dealing with, like I said, this sneaky legislation with people just trying to snatch the internet, and control the internet. And again, I get, you know, sometimes you do need regulation because I mean deregulation has happened 3 times. Well, one of them was not in my lifetime, but with Nixon. What's the other guy's name? Nixon, Reagan, Bush, and then we had it again with Bush Jr. And don't get me wrong, deregulation actually put me and my brother in a position. My brother was on this show, on the Veterans Day show last year, and we talked about our experiences being veterans and, you know, owning a laundromat where we were really young. I was a young pup. I was like in my early 20s. So deregulation has done some positive stuff for people, if you're able to take advantage of it or you understand it. You know, I didn't really start understanding laws and things until I started working and doing legislative research for a state legislator, because I was interested, right? You know, I did so much community work that, you know, they kind of gave me other stuff to do, which I appreciate. But with that, we're going to go to our first break. You are now listening to the lovely sounds of the Tone and Tenor radio show. We'll be right back. All I want to say is that they don't really care about us. Don't worry, people say, we know the truth. All I want to say is that they don't really care about us. Enough is enough of this garbage. just make you want to scream, don't it? You are listening to the smooth sounds of Tone and Tenor, Bipartisan Voices of People, here on WWDB 860 AM and WPEN 97.5 HD2. Did I get that right?
Yeah, you got it all right. You're Pat Edouard, and I'm Tyler Conklin, your producer. How's it going?
It's going. So let's touch on election here, man. So we're gonna run through this quick. We're gonna start backwards from the ballot questions, which was only one. We had one ballot question, which was where's this? These things are just so temperamental today.
Well, at least you guys got a ballot question. We didn't even get anything over my district.
Yeah, it's because they don't like you. But now the ballot question was, I think it was like an accountability. They basically wanted to start a division of for accountability around handicap and disabled an office. So that's what it was. Trust me.
What is it? What exactly does that entail? An accountability for handicap capability or whatever? Like, is it an office to break people's legs? Is that what I'm hearing?
No, they're not breaking people's legs. No, we're not doing that. Nah, the ballot question. I love it. The ballot question was for. All right, here we go. So, thank you for Committee 70. They always work. You got to go with what works. So, Committee 70.org. The Philadelphia Home Rule Charter is like the city's constitution, describing the overall structure of government. The charter can be amended when city council sends proposed changes to voters in the form of a ballot question. On November 7th, there was one that was proposed, and it was a yes or no question. Very simply put, question number one, office for people with disabilities. Ballot question, should the Philadelphia Home Rule Charter be amended to create an office for people with disabilities to coordinate the city's compliance? See, I know what I'm talking about. Compliance with requirements to provide access for people with disabilities to city services and programs, and to otherwise provide incorporation of the city into city government. Plain English. The city's Home Rule Charter sets up the framework of city government. The charter is the city's constitution, like I said earlier. An existing office that was created by the mayor and called the Mayor's Office of People with Disabilities works to create and makes city services and programs accessible for people with disabilities, right? Our handicapable, not handicapped people, that office could be eliminated at any time if you vote yes on this ballot question, which means you approve of creating a more permanent office with people with disabilities. So, guys did a good job. You voted yes. So that was resoundingly, 13.51 people voted against it.
I guess they were worried about their tax dollars from what it looks like.
You people have no soul. Like, this is stuff I'm just
okay, so the office is to make sure that public transport and other things have an availability for handicapable accessibility. Correct. There's more parking for handicapped people and of whatnot. That nature.
But an accountability measure, because that's one of the biggest challenges we have in our culture, but just countrywide, just accountability, right? And we have this thing TRAC, right? I should know this by heart by now, but it's was it traceability? What's TRAC again?
Tracking, traceability. That sounds right. Yeah,
responsibility, accountability, knowledge. No, responsibility. Sorry. Responsibility, accountability, and knowledge. So staying on track, because it's something that we need to do. But that's Randall. Randall needs to coin that. But I might coin it for him. But yeah, so this is what you guys voted on. So 251,490 people voted to keep it, and you people with no souls. 39,292 people. Yeah, y'all are interesting.
Well, it's not that they don't have any souls. It's just that their souls are more accurately pointed towards their wallet, from what I'm hearing.
I mean, I guess, but I mean, I don't know. Again, I'm born with all my appendages. I could walk. So, but and I could only imagine just having, you know, being.
You said disabled. You were a veteran, right?
Yeah.
So you probably know a few of your old combat buddies or maybe some other platoons or whatever that probably have
a few people
that lost life and limb in conflict.
I know one or two people who have prosthetics. I know some people who never came back. So, you know, that, you know, it's pretty rough, man. It's rough stuff. So I'm just really a bit saddened by that, that people would do that. And then back to the results. Not to beat a dead horse, but so the races, we're only going to cover the races where people actually ran. We're not going to cover anything where people went unopposed because it's a waste of time. So we'll start with the 10th district. Brian O'Neill, who ran against Gary Massino, who was the Democratic, I guess, nominee. Brian O'Neill, who's a Republican, got 17,000. This is the final count. 60.53% of the vote, 17,422 votes to Mr. Massino's 11,310.
Yeah. All right, so a 60-40 split. Gotcha.
Yes. These results are terrible.
Oh,
we need more involvement. We just do. All right, so then we have the third councilman of the district. Incumbent rep, not rep, sorry, apologies, wrong level of government, wrong level of government. Councilmember Gaudier, who's part of the Democratic Party, and Jabari Jones, the West is Best Party. I mean, it rhymes, but it didn't work.
That's a new one. I haven't heard that. Is that just basically like a...
I guess he made it up.
Is he a Californian? Is that what he's talking about? No.
Right. West side is the best. West side? No, let me stop. So, all right.
In Westfield. No.
Born and raised. 22,303 votes. And he had 3,370 votes. Oof, that's rough. So she got,
man, that's a landslide.
Yeah, she got 86.67% of the vote. He got 13.10%. Yeah, that's rough. That's back of the shed, you know.
Just put him on a shelf at that point.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. So for the race that we were all looking at, that I cared about more so than anything, because people don't realize at large is a very pivotal space, right? Because at large is 7 votes, right? Yeah. Pat knows things. So, so looking at the, it looks like the winners are Democrat Isaiah Thomas, Democrat Kathy Gilmer Richardson, Democrat Nina Ahmed, who we know ran several times on the state level and almost won. So I don't know why she didn't go back up to the state. That's just my personal opinion. Rue Landau, who was the executive director for the Public Relations Commission. Jim Herity, who's a Democrat as well, who used to work for Senator Street. And then you have the person that broke the mold the last election, Kendra Brooks for the Working Parties family, who's, you know, and then you have Nick O'Rourke, who... you know, won this time. He failed. He failed last time. It was close. I mean, he lost by maybe like 600 votes. It was close. But he has now joined the ranks of city council. So the votes, the final count, Councilman Thomas, 196,444 votes. And I know the lie is, oh, you know, whoever gets the most votes is, you know, they could probably run from her. And we saw that with Helen Gim. It didn't work, right? She had more votes than Mayor Kenney, but lost. So that's not true. So just for anybody that's thinking,
how did she lose? Only because, like,
I mean, there was a lot of things. Again, I don't have nothing personal against, but I don't, you know, she kind of tried to sell people on she's us, but I mean, you're married to a pharmaceutical tycoon, so we're not doing that. You're not an everyday person. Like,
I think she might have been just talking to the people that were married to pharmaceutical tycoons, maybe.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine.
I'm one of you.
I mean, listen, you know, you're entitled to what you want to believe, but the reality is, and again, I can't be mad at people for the circumstances. It's like being mad at somebody for how they were born. Can't be mad for you were born, but you know, you made choices, and you know, you're fiscally good. Nothing wrong with that. But yeah, don't come out in our communities pretending like you're an everyday person, because you're not. Councilmember Richardson, 188,765 votes. Nina Ahmed, 183,222 votes. Sorry, that's my email. Rue Landau, 175,025 votes. Jim Harity, 152,878 votes. Kendra Brooks, 83,275 votes. And then Nick O'Rourke, 69,814 votes. So there you have it, folks. And then, I mean, you can look up other people, but this is going to be your new city council. I think they'll be sworn in the first Tuesday. I think that's how the Constitution in Pennsylvania works. It's the first Tuesday of the year, and it's probably going to be cold. But we were lucky. When I was at the governor's swearing in, it was pretty warm outside. I didn't even have to use my hand warmers. I appreciated that. That was awesome. Okay, so on to the next thing. We have a bunch of people that are running for Congress. So this is going to be interesting. So I'm going to start on the
preliminary. How many Democrats are we looking at for the running?
Let me see. They got this map, but this is not helpful at all. Let me pull that up. You just went over the Dems, right?
Well, I assume there's all pretty much all Dems, or like
the Eastern. So let me finish one thought at a time.
Okay, okay. It's unfair to you to drag you in three different directions.
Yeah, you got the brain rolling now. You got the brain rolling. So we're gonna go to Pennsylvania. We're gonna
pull this from maybe. Do you think we should go to a break so that you can?
We'll take our second and final break. You are listening to the smooth sounds of Tone and Tenor Radio here on WWDB 860 AM and WPEN 97.5 HD2. We'll be back.
Yeah. You know, sometimes I think they don't truly understand me, you know? Because they don't. Can't change the world unless we change ourselves. Die from the sicknesses if we don't seek the health. All eyes be my witness when I speak what's felt. Full house on my hands, the cards I was dealt. 3 Ks, 2 A's in America. I'm just a black space born out the nebula. And everything I do or say today that's worthwhile. With assurance by your action and your first child. I begin my first now. Sometimes I speak and I feel like it ain't my words. Like I'm just a vessel channeling inside this universe. I feel my ancestors arrested inside of me. It's like they want me to shoot my chance and change the society. But how do I go about it? Tell me where I start. My destiny rerouted when I chose to follow heart. You told to follow suit, but tell me what it do for you. Except where you down. Now you trapped inside the cubicle they built for us. The first step in the change is to take notice. Realize the real gains that they tried to show us. 300 plus years of them cold shoulders. Your 300 million of it still got no focus. Sorry, America, but I will not be your soldier. Obama just wasn't enough, I need some more closure. And Donald Trump is not equipped to take this country over. Let's face facts, cause we know what's the real motives. In the land of the free is full of freeloaders. Leave us dead in the street to be the organ donors. They disorganized, my people made us all loners. Still got the last names of our slave owners. In the land of the free is full of freeloaders. Leave us dead in the street to be the organ donors. They disorganized, my people made us all loners. Yeah, we can't change the world unless we change ourselves. Die from the sicknesses if we don't seek the help. All eyes be my witness when I speak what's felt. Full house on my hands, the cards I was dealt.
Three K's, two A's in America. I'm just a black space born out the nebula. And everything I do is say today that's worthwhile. With for sure inspire action. Trickery in the system, put my prison, all our history hidden. Ain't no liberty given. We all fit the description of what the document's written. We been lacking the vision and barely making a living. We too worried to fit in, why they been benefiting. Every time you submit it, we all guilty admitted. The law won't get you acquitted, but used to ask for forgiveness. Put opiates and syringes, then inject his religion. Now many times I gotta tell you I'm a man in the mission. Many times I gotta tell you I don't need no permission. A human with supervision, ain't no living condition. I'm reaching out to my children, just hoping that they will listen. Start a new coalition against corrupt politicians. It's not enough about the prison. Too many murder convictions. Nothing family evicted. Nothing black man the victim. That's as real as it's getting. You should take recognition. In the land of the free is full of freeloaders. Leave us dead in the street to be the organ donors. They disorganized, my people made us all loners. Still got the last names of our slave owners. In the land of the free is full of freeloaders. Leave us dead in the street to be the organ donors. They disorganized, my people made us all loners.
Can't change the world unless we free ourselves. Welcome back. You are again are listening to the sounds of Tone and Tenor, Bipartisan Voices of the People, here on WWDB Talk 860 AM and WPEN 97.5 HD2. So we in the home stretch, my friend.
Let's hit a home run.
I hope so. Unlike Philly. Too soon? Too soon?
I mean, yeah, probably too soon for some people. The emotions are raw and everything.
I apologize.
No, but it's fine. We knew what's going to happen.
I told you that it was going to lose. But we'll let the sports guys who are coming up later at 5 hook you guys up. Those guys are awesome. Along with the show before, I know they gave y'all some heat. I didn't get to hear the whole thing because I was working on a project. But anyway. So, the United States House of Representatives elections for 2024, because this is the stuff you guys need to be paying attention to. Everybody's worried about the president and the vice president stuff. Those are important. But much like, same thing with here. Everybody's always worried about the executive branch. Remember, there's the executive, judicial, legislative. Legislative branch on the local level is your council. On your state level, it's the state reps. On your federal level, it is Congress. Okay? House of Representatives elections in Pennsylvania are scheduled for November 5th, 2024. We'll elect 17 candidates to serve, right, to come back, or new people. Right? For the House of Representatives. Here's the breakdown. Two U.S. senators, obviously. They are both now Democrat, just in case you didn't know, right? Casey, who was a governor, long time, you know, been in politics forever, part of politic royalty. And then you have the newcomer, Fetterman, who was able to, what, in his first year, change the dress code. So, you know, got this giant white guy wearing Dickie suits.
Yeah.
I love it, though. I hate to say it.
It's a different time.
I can't do it. Because I wasn't raised that way. My father would not, you know, Eddie Edward would not have that. I wasn't politics. So,
yeah,
I was raised in these settings. You are to wear a suit and a tie. I mean, you know.
Maybe a hat. I don't know. But I don't think that's even allowed on the floor either.
Maybe a top hat. No?
Oh, I mean, if, yeah.
I dare say, let's put on our top hats and gallivant around the floor and talk about what we need to. Blah, blah, blah.
I think so. That'd be awesome. But check this out. So here's the rest of the breakdown. We have nine. So you were actually wrong. It's not the majority. So it's nine Democrats and 8 Republicans in the state.
Oh, wow. Okay. So it's not that uneven of a split.
No.
Yeah. Still one person for the Democratic side, one less for the Republican. But yeah. You know what? Maybe they can sway them. Maybe they can all just come under one banner, one Philadelphia. Hopefully.
I'd be surprised. But
shocked is a good word for it.
Yeah. So we have again 17 representatives and 2 senators. So that makes it a total of 19 representatives on the federal level for us. So if you don't know, we're gonna run through this real quick. Yeah, we got some time. So, District 1, oof, a bunch of people running. So, you got the incumbent from the Republican Party, Brian Fitzpatrick. Oh, I actually happen to like. You have Ashley Ehas. I'm sorry if I murdered your name. Mark Hawk. Quincy Richardson. So, the last two are Republicans. Ashley is a Dem. I'll be honest with you. By the time we get closer to them, if you don't raise a certain amount of money, you're gonna be done anyway. So the second congressional district, right, which was just recently shifted into Philly, because part of it used to be in Montgomery County. You have a Philly native Brendan Boyle, who's an incumbent for the Democratic Party, and a Salem Snow from the Democratic Party. Never heard of him. The third district where I live, you have incumbent. Just a quick fact. One congressional district is 720,000 people, which is absurd. It doesn't make any sense. Districts are too big.
Only because of like the population that is current from the recent census.
Yeah, no. Well, it's busted up by It's actually supposed to, according to the initial laws on the federal level, I think in the 1860s or something like that. We need to show on that as well. One congressional district used to be 60,000 people, much like a state rep district. So, you know, there's some synergy there. But now there are 720,000 people. You will never see your constituency. So to me, it doesn't make any sense. It's just like a city council member's constituency is like 150 people. It's never going to happen. You're never going to see those people. You'll be lucky to touch 10% of them in maybe a year. Anyway, moving on. A long time elected official, Dwight Evans, who was a powerhouse on the state level, but is now a congressman after beating Ashaka Fattah way back when he had that case. You know, look it up for yourself. We already covered that. Pennsylvania's 4th congressional district, which is mainly comprised of Montgomery County, is Madeline Dean, who's the incumbent. She was a former state rep. She's a Dem. Eric Bonnet, Democrat. And then David Winkler, Republican.
I mean, with a last name like Winkler, you're usually going to be a Republican, right? Sorry, that bad joke, but still.
I mean, he sounds racist. I don't know. I'm just kidding. So, next district, District 5, which consists of like Delco-ish, I think, in some of Philly.
Maybe, probably.
Yeah, Mary Gay Scanlon, who, you know, she just won. She just keeps winning. Nobody's running against her either. Then you have incumbent Chrissy Houlihan, who's a little deeper into the middle of the state. Actually, I have a map here, so I can actually give you guys something a bit more accurate. So let's see as we work our way from. So I'm working you guys from east to west. Because funny enough, on the federal level, if you pay attention, the numbers run from east to west, but on the state level, the representative numbers run from west to east, which is actually pretty interesting. At least to me, it isn't. Anyway, I like boring stuff like that. So let's see here.
Man, I feel like I'm back in math class trying to figure out all these percentages and numbers and everything.
Oh, yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot going on. Yeah, so yeah, Mary Gay has mostly. Yeah, so Houlihan, her district touches some of Delco and goes into like, looks like Lebanon and Allentown, all the way up there. So yeah, she's sixth. So no incumbent. District 7. Everybody's new. So you got Kevin Delickier, Republican. Alan Issa, Republican. Ryan McKenzie, Republican. Maria Montero, who is Republican. District 8, incumbent Matt Cartwright, Democratic Party, and you have Rob Breshannon. District 9, Dave Muser, longtime politician. He is running unopposed. Surprise, surprise. District 10, Scott Perry, who is the incumbent, has a bunch of people running against him, so he must have pissed some people off. John Broadhurst, Rick Coplin, Charmaine Daniels, Bob Forbes, Blake Lynch, Mike O'Brien, Janelle Stilson. The only person I know here is Blake. Yeah, Blake used to work for, I think, a radio station or something out in Harrisburg.
Yeah, okay. So, like, WW something or something.
Some,
like that.
Yeah. Good guy, actually. Good guy. So, this is gonna be an interesting race. Now we have the 12th district. Summer Lee, who's the incumbent, who just won. She was a state rep for, I think, 3 or 4 cycles. She is now a congresswoman, and now she has Bharvini Patel and James Haynes running against her. Patel is a Democrat. James is a Republican. District 13, John Joyce, incumbent, Republican Party, Patriotic Lee. Sounds like an action hero. December 14th. District 14. I apologize. District 14. Guy. I'm not even going to mess his name up, but starts with R. Incumbent. Then he has 3 people running against him, and they're all from part of the Democratic Party. Kenneth Bach, Kimberly Fallon, Vic Vecchio. District 15. Glenn Thompson, who's the incumbent Republican Party. Nobody has declared they're running against him yet, I guess. 16, Mike Kelly, who's the incumbent, is a Republican. Preston Nuri is a Democrat. Tim Kramer is a Republican. They're both running against the incumbent. District 17, Christopher DeLuzio. I wonder if he's related to Pam DeLuzio.
I mean, anything's possible, but like my last name's Conklin, and I'm not related to Joe Conklin. Otherwise, I'd try to push that out as much as possible.
I would, too. I would, too. So the people that are running against are Rob McCurry and James Nelson. They're both part of the Republican Party. So the reason why I bring this up, you guys, is this is extremely important. These are some of the things that we're not paying attention to. The folks who stay in office forever and a day and a half, and they just don't ever leave office because they're not forced to, because we don't hold anybody to account. So please, y'all, get out and vote. Get out and vote. But again, do your own due diligence, do your own research. I'm just here to make you think. I'm just here to kind of hopefully inspire you to do stuff beyond what makes you comfortable, right? Getting out of your comfort zone. And that's it. We're going to have some more stuff, some more breakdowns for you. Hoping to have some of the council member elects on, possibly the mayors and anybody who ran. I mean, I think I'd like to hear people's journey. So even if we do a pre-recorded show and put it on whatever, I definitely want to.
Yeah, we definitely need more people to call in and give their own opinion so that we can, comment.
Yeah, because I'm interested. I'm interested in what y'all think, and I'm interested in what the people who ran for office, win, lose, or draw. You had the courage to do it. So I tip my hat off to all of you folks in regards to that. So definitely appreciate you. Right now, hold on. Oh, awesome. Okay, so we are up against the hour again. I'd be greatly remiss, folks, if I don't mention a good friend of mine, David Crane, who died in September. I just could never just, like, I couldn't get it out because he was such a good guy. Northeast guy. He was a social, longtime social worker in the city. And again, I'd be greatly remiss if I did not bring him up. Also, Leon Dixon, who was a piano guy. He was a key guy who passed. He was just laid to rest this past week. So I wanted to make sure that I acknowledge these folks and their families. You know, our heart and our prayers and our thoughts and our positive vibrations are with you guys. I am sorry for your loss. Deep sympathies. And I hope that you can find those warm moments, those warm, loving moments that you shared with these individuals. Because I know I did. I had some great times with David Crane. I didn't know Leon well, but I know him from when I did a couple of open mics. And, you know, one day he did an open mic, and then the next day he was not here. So that was very, very interesting and unfortunate. But yeah, positive energy for them. So this concludes another session. Thank you, my guy.
Happy to have you in, Pat.
Yeah, Randall should be back next week. I'm going to make one of my little stews and teas and get him back right with the Lord. Listeners, follow us on social media. On Twitter, we are at Tone and Tenor. On Instagram, we are Tone and Tenor Radio. To find us on Facebook, just type in www.facebook.com/Tone and Tenor to find our page. Please look out for us as we partner up with people in and out of the Delaware Valley area. Thanks to our studio engineer. Appreciate you. Did a great job. I am Pat Edouard. Thank you for listening to Tone and Tenor, Bipartisan Voices of the People talk radio show here on WWDB 860 AM and WPEN 97.5 HD2 out of Philadelphia. Talk to you soon.
Taste the truth. Wake up, preacher.
Rogers said, look for the helpers. Can always find people who are helping. Thank you to all the first responders who put their lives in danger to help us when my brothers and sisters need them. We look out for the helpers because they look out for us.
Thank you, first responders!
Thank you, first responders!
Help us help first responders in your community today. Go to firstrcf.org to learn more.